jam and a dunk. Wow. Fouled. He's got 41, and the Lakers are going to beat the Suns wire to wire. What a game for Anthony Davis.
The Brow going beast mode against the Suns. Is this the version of AD that Los Angeles has been waiting to see? The Celtics, well, they've lost 3 out of 4. Are they heading into the danger zone? And Luka gets ejected for a low blow. Is he turning heel? I don't know, but that Photoshop is amazing. It's a family affair here on The Jump, so guard your cookies, baby. It all starts now. Do I sound excited? I'm very excited. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champ Kendrick Perkins, the host of The Hoop Collective, Brian Windhorst. But we also have all-star, man about town, bon vivant, coach of coaches now that he's retired, and of course, Mr. Ball Don't Lie, one of my favorite humans ever in the game of basketball, Mr. Rasheed Wallace. Thank you so much, friend.
Steve.
Love that you are here. This is going to be so much fun. We've got KD's business partner, Rich Kleiman, stopping by in a minute. But first, the wild, wild west. Depending on how old you are, that phrase can mean a lot of different things. Maybe it makes you think of Annie Oakley and Billy the Kid. Maybe it makes you think of those old black and white movies your dad or grandpa liked. Maybe it makes you think of the British band The Escape Club. I mean, hey, that song hit number one, just saying. Anyway, these days, Wild Wild West is the only fair way to describe the NBA's Western Conference, where up is down, down is up, three-pointers are as plentiful as tumbleweeds, and gunslingers are waiting around every corner. There's Luka Doncic, who over the weekend did his best impression of a cowboy being thrown out of a saloon for unsavory behavior. And by unsavory, I mean this, Luka's fist in the groin of the Cavaliers' Colin Sexton. Officials ruled it a flagrant 2, which meant Luka was tossed from the game, but he did not draw a technical. That's relevant, since if Luka gets one more tech, it would be his 16th of the season, which triggers an automatic one-game suspension. Accordingly, Luka has vowed to cool his quick-draw temper, but we will have to see if he can pull that off. Meanwhile, over in the home of the Gold Rush, Steph Curry was also in action this weekend and also just ridiculous. Curry dropped 49 points in 29 minutes and his range fully on display. Nothing but net all night long. You know, for much of the season, the Warriors were trying to split the difference between competing for the playoffs and developing younger players like rookie James Wiseman. Then Wiseman got hurt, which stinks, but at least forced the team to pick a direction, and that direction clearly involves letting Steph ride free across the open range and right into the postseason bracket. In fact, with Saturday's win, it propelled the Warriors to 8th place in the standings, which means if the season ended today, Steph and the Warriors would face LeBron, AD, and the 7th place Lakers in the play-in tournament's opening game. Here's Steph when he was asked about it.
Think the league might enjoy Lakers Warriors 7-8 in the play-in? That's a meme.
Amazing. Of course, the Lakers themselves less thrilled with this idea. Although if they can get the version of Anthony Davis we saw against Phoenix last night, none of it might matter. Playing once again without LeBron or starting point guard Dennis Schroeder, AD was dominant from the start. Look at this dunk in the first quarter. His eyes as he approaches the hoop. Yeah, fantastic. He would finish with 42 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 3 steals, topping the whole thing off with this alley-oop. A little extra flair there for the folks in the back. Afterward, we heard his take on the play-in. Take a listen.
We're going to come out and fight, and I think teams know that. They know that just because we're a lower seed, we're not going to back down from anybody. We're going to come out and play Lakers basketball, and I think teams know that and fear that as well.
I believe in the Old West, they would say them's fighting words. And certainly if you were the Suns last night, it can't have felt great to lose to a team that if things go chalk would be your first round playoff opponent. Then again, the Suns will have the chance to influence their own fate this week when they play Portland, also one of the teams battling with LA in the standings. Although if I'm Phoenix, do I necessarily want to set up a first round duel with Dame Lillard? Talk about one of the fastest guns in the West. Either way, it's all set to come to a head by the end of this week. So choose your weapons and prepare to meet at dawn. It's getting pretty wild right out here. So, Perk, is this the version of AD that you expect to see for the rest of the week, rest of the season? Rest of the week, it's the same thing.
Absolutely. And look, I said this before, Rachel. Nothing gets you in shape like playing basketball games. And AD is finally getting his legs up under him. Look, when Anthony Davis is healthy, 100% healthy, he's the best big in the game today. And there's no debate in my opinion. What we are witnessing right now, we are witnessing him not only dominate on the offensive end, because in my opinion, he has zero flaws on the offensive end, but his defense has been stellar. Like, it's been so phenomenal the way that he's impacted on the defensive side of things. And when you look at Anthony Davis, he's a generational talent. He's one of one. Shaq-type numbers last year in the bubble when he was playing his best. And right now, he's about to hit his stride. It's probably about to be trouble for the rest of the Western Conference if Anthony Davis could keep this up, which I think he can.
What do you got for us, Sheed?
Well, for me, definitely I like AD. I like what he's doing. And definitely he's healthy now.
Yeah.
He's healthy. So that's why we saw the performance that we did last night. But, and Perk, you know this as well as I do, in order for the Lakers to go ahead and go all the way where they want to go, they're going to need LBJ back. LBJ is definitely the glue for that team. And I'm not disrespecting AD. I think he's a great player. He definitely deserves all the accolades he has and he's gotten. But they definitely going to need LBJ. If they want to go ahead and go back-to-back, they're going to need LBJ. We all know that.
And look, G, all I'm saying is this. 100% Anthony Davis and even a 75% LeBron James, the Lakers' run is deeper than the Mississippi River, okay? They can have a run that deep in the playoffs with a 75% LeBron James. And with the way that Anthony Davis is playing right now, I'm saying that if he keeps this up, which I think he can, the first round of the playoffs for the Lakers could be that round where LeBron could get his rhythm going into the second round. That's all I'm saying. He could get up to 100%.
Well, I don't know, though, Perk, because look at all the minutes that LBJ play. He plays a lot of minutes, bro. And coming back from injury, you know they're supposed to keep him on mandated minutes. But, you know, that's LBJ. He's going to be like, look, I want to play. What they going to do, say no? So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not – I can't necessarily guarantee him. They'll go as far as LeBron is healthy. I'll say that.
Well, Brian, what have we heard about when LeBron might end up back this week? And just from your years watching him, what do you think his pace is going to be returning from this injury? Because he tried to return last week, didn't quite work, felt more pain than he felt even in his ramp up. Brian, what can we expect?
Yeah. Well, let me just take a moment to acknowledge that Rasheed Wallace has on his wall a referee giving him a technical, which I think is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in a player's house. So I'd like to take my hat off to you for that. When LeBron came back last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, he was running okay, and he was going back and forth okay, but when he went to push off that right leg, he had no spring, no energy. And so much of his offense is created by leveraging his size on his defender. He gets you on his hip, puts you in position, and the next thing you know, you got an and one. And he's going to end up having to shoot a lot. So what that's going to mean is that the Lakers are going to have to really defend. And their defense this whole year has been awesome. They were number one when AD got hurt. They were number two in the 30 games that he was out. And then when LeBron was out with AD for a month, they were number four. But since AD has come back, they have slipped way back. Even last night, as good as that win was and as great as Anthony Davis was, they allowed 54% shooting. I don't know how healthy LeBron is going to be. I don't know whether they're going to hit their three-pointers, because when they do, they're a different team. Last night, they hit them. But I do know they can control their defense. And so they have got to defend at the bubble level. And then if it's a 75% LeBron or an 80% or a 76.4%, they have a better chance of getting through the play-in and having a shot in the first round, whoever they play.
I mean, Brian, they just held the Denver Nuggets to 89 points like two games ago. So, I mean,
That was a great win.
That was great defense, though. This is what I'm saying. And one thing that I will not do is that I would never doubt a guy that invests $2 million into his body. And we have to realize that when LeBron James came back, he came back because he was testing his ankle. Because of the COVID situation, they're not able to have practices. So that was fill-out games for him. Anthony Davis said last night in the press conference that LeBron James, from what he saw the last 2 days, how he's wrapping up his workouts, LeBron James will look just fine. That's what Anthony Davis said.
He absolutely did, and I would believe him. And not only, by the way, Brian, we should all know, not only does Sheed have that on his wall, his podcast, which is fantastic, by the way, it's become one of my go-to listens. His podcast is called Let's Get Technical. So this man, just like in his playing career, is running from nothing. He will be on our next segment as well, so stick with us. Coming up, we're going to talk Luka Doncic. He was ejected Sunday after hitting Colin Sexton below the belt. Is it a bad look for Luka? Is he going to pick up another tech? We have the world's greatest expert on technicals on the panel today. It's going to be great. We'll discuss.
A couple years ago, if somebody had said to you, do you think it's possible to average a triple-double in the NBA, what would you have thought?
I'd say, why not?
Big baller, on my way to a triple-double.
Westbrook's got his triple-double.
Triple-double, triple-double.
What he's doing is just electrifying. He just attacks everybody.
There's no player like myself.
He's made the triple-double look so easy.
This shit ain't easy, though. I'll tell you that.
If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Welcome back. Perk, Sheed, Wendy, all still hanging with me. And now, gentlemen, it's time to play a few rounds of something, nothing, or everything. Starting with, yes, Russell Westbrook tying Oscar Robertson's record for most triple-doubles in NBA history, 181. Russ still has 4 games to break the record this season. He's guaranteed to average a triple-double for the 4th time in his career, even if he doesn't score another point. So Rasheed Wallace, is Russ tying the big O for most triple-doubles ever? Something, nothing, or everything?
I gotta say it's something, for sure, because I don't care what era you play. You know, Perk and I, we played in one of the toughest eras of basketball, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's not as tough now, but that kid is tough. Now, you can say what you want about him. Hey, to average, look, first of all, I played 16 years. I played over 25 years of basketball. Never had one triple-double. Mm. This dude has over 100 and something triple-doubles over the last few years. That's phenomenal. I take it back. That's not something. That's everything. Yeah. That's phenomenal in my book, man. I don't care who you're playing against.
Nice.
Yeah, it's definitely something. You know, 5 years ago, this would have been a record that you would have thought would have been one of the more unbreakable records in the NBA. 181 in your career. I mean, Jason Kidd had put up a, you know, nonstop and couldn't even come close to it. So for Russ to put his name on this line in the history books for a career is really, really impressive. He's done so many things over his career, and I think this is what he'll be remembered for. But obviously, he was an MVP before he was averaging triple doubles. He's not just Mr. Triple Double, he's Mr. Do a lot of things for his team.
you know what? This is everything and more to me. And I could go on, and Brian and she, y'all touched on it, you know, right on the head, on right on the money. But I'm going to say this. The way that he did it the other night and tied it, right? And got 181. You just look at it. The go-ahead free throws, no Bradley Beal in overtime, along with the go-ahead block. Like, he went out in great fashion against that Indiana Pacers team, who was also fighting. It was a playoff-type atmosphere, and Russell Westbrook took it over. So to take over the game, actually win the game for your team, and break history was everything to me.
Look, there's a reason we like the stat, right? There's a reason we like talking about triple-doubles, because it hits several parts of the game, not just one aspect of the game. And I'm exhausted by people saying, oh, Russ is just chasing stats, because guess what? When Russ has a triple-double, his teams win. You can look it up. A winning record, and not by a little bit, people. So it is a reflection of him doing things that affect winning, the same way it was with Oscar Robertson. And I do remember when Russ had the triple-double for a season, averaged a triple-double for the first time since the Big O a few seasons ago, we thought this record would be unbreakable. We talked about it like Cal Ripken, and sure enough, here he is. So shouts to him. All right, I want to move on to Luka Doncic, gentlemen, because he was ejected early in the third quarter of Sunday's win over the Cavs. We talked about it a bit at the show, top of the show. He was called for a flagrant 2. Our officials ruling Doncic made a, quote, aggressive strike to the groin area of Cavs guard Colin Sexton. Luka said afterward, quote, after I saw the video, I knew I hit him, but it wasn't anything on purpose. So, Perk, is this something, nothing, or everything? Because as we have been talking about, Luka is just one technical shy of a suspension, something that fortunately did not exist back when Sheed was playing.
Yeah, look, it's everything to me. And here's why, right? A guy that led the league in technical fouls, a guy that lost over $200,000 because of technical fouls and ejections and things of that nature. My whole thing is with Luka is that he don't want his reputation to be that way. And this is going from a guy that had a pretty bad reputation with the officials. And once you get labeled as a guy that's going to come out whining, a guy that's going to play dirty, a guy that's going to complain, officials are not going to give you the respect you deserve, and they're going to ignore you. They're not going to, you know, it's almost like you want to be on the good side of the officials. You don't want them coming in and saying, no, I ain't talking to you. I talk to this person, but not to you. And Luka has a long career ahead of him, and I just want him to succeed and for nothing to harm his legacy.
Hey, Perk, for me,
I'm not really.
That's an ass whooping. you did that deliberately. He didn't like the way that Colin Sexton was blocking him out. He felt as though that Colin maybe put a little bit of extra on him. No, it's a simple block out. You know, you got to get low when you're blocking out the big man. And then for him to turn around and as you're looking at me, throw a shot to my Johnson. Oh, no, that's an ass whooping, dog. I mean, kudos to Colin Sexton. You kept your cool and everything of that nature. Kudos. But, hey, no, that's an ass whooping. That's what that is.
And this is why this is something. Dog. Because, look, did he deserve every technical that he got this year? Probably not. Did he mean to hit him between the legs? Maybe not. But the problem with Luka is that he loses his cool. He loses his cool. And that is something that you cannot do when you are the superstar player on a team. Because if you lose your cool at the wrong time in a playoff game, you can be gone. And if you're gone in a playoff game, you dramatically hurt your team more than if you get suspended for a regular season game. This is something he's got to work on. He's got to pick his spots, both with the officials and with sending messages to players on the court. Let the dudes like Perk go settle scores with other players. Perk was one of the best at that. Go let him get ejected and then take care of his fine later.
By the way, I love the graphic.
Real fast, can I say this?
Please.
Luka, you should cuss him out in Italian, not English.
Strategy remember, there.
Rachel, you know what's crazy that he said that real quick? So she, myself, and KG and Doc all were on the same team, and we all were top five in the league in technical fouls. So we said that we were going to start cursing the referees out by using numbers. So we would call them a 285 or a 363.
That's incredible. I just have to throw that graphic up again of the text this season, because look at the bottom line there. Perk, you're talking about this coming from a guy who led the league in text. I led the league in text 2 years. Perk, you had 16 texts in the 2010 season. Sheed had 40 in the 2001 season. Thank you very much. Sheed, what would you advise Luka, aside from cursing in Italian so people don't know, right, what he's saying, but Sheed, how would you advise Luka to get it a little bit more under control? Because as Brian points out, the playoffs are coming. They can't lose him for a game.
Well, you just got to keep playing. You know, I did receive a lot of texts and stuff. A lot of mine were during the regular season, but once playoff time came, then I knew what was at stake there. So I knew, like, okay, I got to shut my mouth. I got to just go ahead and bite the bullet. And if the referee, they want to, you know, be sarcastic or cuss me out, I got to let them, because I know if I said anything, then they would give me a tech. And now I'm gone for 2 games. We're in the playoffs. And that could change the whole thing. So, Luka, just keep playing. You know, you busting their ass. You killing them already, dog. So just keep playing, doing what you're doing. You ain't even got to say nothing to the refs. You going to the line. You getting buckets. Y'all winning. Hey, go ahead. You doing your thing, bro.
I love it. Sheed, thank you so much for hanging with us a bit today. Yes. I am just... This is my face when Rasheed Wallace is around.
Rachel, I'm just so glad I don't have to see the Kansas City Chiefs guild this year. Lord, I'm glad. Thank you. I'm just so
happy.
We
can get into that next time. Again, the podcast, Let's Get Technical. Sheed's into a bunch of other stuff. He will be back with us soon. Sheed, thank you so much. Coming up, everyone else, stick with us. We'll discuss if the Knicks made a statement in their win over the Clippers Sunday in Staples Center. Keep it locked on The Jump. Let's talk about this bracket, because if the regular season ended Sunday, this is what the Eastern Conference playoffs would look like. The Knicks would face the Hawks in the first round. So, Perk, let's continue with Julius Randle. How much noise can the Knicks make with this situation?
Well, you know what? Look, the Knicks control their own destiny. And you know what? Yesterday I said this on Hoop Strings with Wendy, Rachel. I said that the Clippers were going to beat the Knicks tonight. I said that. And guess what? The Knicks proved me wrong. They are 3-2 on this current West Coast trip. They are competing at the highest level. They have identity on the defensive side of things and the offensive side of things. I believe that their ceiling is getting to the second round and challenging one of those three-headed monsters to a 6- or 7-game series. And I believe that they strongly could get out the first round.
I exhaustively researched this today, and so I can now make this statement.
Okay.
This was the biggest win for the Knicks in 8 years since they eliminated the Celtics in the playoffs in 2013.
Explain yourself.
Not just because... because it's a road win that was vital for them. And frankly, they haven't played late season big games in a long time. Mm-hmm. And this was such an impressive victory because I agree with Perk. I thought this was the Clippers game, especially since Kawhi and Paul George were in the lineup and playing. Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing. The Hawks have the easiest schedule left in the NBA. I know there's not many games left, but the Hawks have the easiest run. The Knicks are still out in the West for another couple of days, another couple of games. If the Knicks can somehow emerge from this with the number 4 seed, it means they would have played so well and they would have home court advantage. I would think that they would have a shot to win in advance out of that round. But I am more concerned that they slip back to 6th because that is also on the table for them as well. And then they'd have to play the Bucks. So a lot of it's going to come down to their seed. But I'm going to say this. I agree with Perk. But everybody beware. The last 11 times the Knicks have been listed as underdogs, they're 8-3. So be very careful when you see the Knicks list as underdogs the rest of the way.
And a big part of that has been Derrick Rose. I just don't think we can have this conversation without bringing up D. Rose again. What he has done for that team since he went back there. And look, things did not end great for Derrick in New York the last time. This wasn't necessarily a spot people thought that he would thrive in. And just like he has been doing over and over again, he has proven those doubters wrong. There are so many stats across the board that if you look at them pre-DR or post-DR, that the Knicks have just, they're a different team. They're a changed team. Mm-hmm. So I want to shout out him again as we go. All right, coming up, our friend David Griffin, Pelicans Executive Vice President, fined $50,000 for criticizing how Zion is officiated after Zion suffered a broken finger. Does Griff have a point? We're going to discuss that. Stick with us. '19-year veteran referee Tony Brown will miss the remainder of this NBA season after being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer last month. You know, Tony was in the bubble with us. He officiated his first NBA Finals last year. He officiated the All-Star Game this year. NBA Senior Vice President Monty McCutcheon, who oversees officiating, released the following statement, quote, Tony is a beloved member of the NBA family and in particular our officiating family. In addition to exemplifying what it means to be a world-class ref on the court, Tony also touches so many lives off the court. The NBA officiating family, the entire NBA family stand behind Tony with thoughts and prayers as he embarks upon this courageous battle. Tony's officiated 1,109 regular season games, 35 playoff games in his 19 seasons. We are with you. We are behind you, Tony, in this fight, and we look forward to seeing you back on the sidelines next season. And now joining the show, he is Kevin Durant's manager, business partner, the co-founder of 35 Ventures, the Sports Business Media Network, The Boardroom, Rich Kleiman. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Rachel. I am so happy to finally be on the jump. We talked about this forever.
We have had all of these misconnections. Here you are. You're reminding me of New York, the home base I had for so long behind you. I love your backdrop. And there's a very cool partnership you're here to announce. Why don't you get to it?
Yeah, we're announcing our investment and partnership with Just Women Sports, and we are incredibly excited. This was a big investment for our team. You know, we have a portfolio of about 70 companies, and some companies are just strategic investments. And some of them we try to activate around where it's appropriate. And some of them, like this, are not only it's something passionate for us, but the founder is an incredible founder. The concept is great. The business model is great. And, you know, beyond the fact that we want to invest in women's sports, this was a great investment. And the founder was somebody that we knew we had to kind of find a way to work together with.
Yeah, women's stories are compelling stories. And there is no doubt that there will be all kinds of people interested in what you guys produce here. I really can't wait for this. There's also, of course, several other companies you run with Kevin Durant. You have worked with him for years and years now. And I think Kevin's off-court personality is still enigma to a lot of people. So what can you share about working with him day in and day out that might help people get to know him better?
I mean, you know, it's funny because a lot of times people will tell me they feel like they don't know KD or they want to get to know the real KD. But you know, to me, I don't know any other athlete that's as honest and open and real. And, you know, you see what it is. He's a human being. So, you know, for me, he's not an enigma. You know, he's a real dude. He has real feelings. And, you know, we talk so much that it's very fluid. And it's not the kind of thing where we talk about something that happened on Twitter as much as like, that's my man, you know, and regardless of what goes on, like we know who he is and he knows who he is. And people that really know KD don't get caught up in all of the kind of rest of the drama that comes with it. But at the same time, we all understand it and he understands it.
Well, fans have been getting a little bit more of those unvarnished conversations I know you have with him because KD and your boardroom imprint, pretty consistent fan interaction on Twitter Spaces lately. What's the idea behind digging into that platform for you guys?
I mean, we're digging into every platform. I mean, I think the conversation for boardroom is an important one. I think that it's never been more fascinating to know what these guys are doing off the court, to do what these women are doing off the court, to see what's happening in the venture capital world as it relates to sports, health and wellness, business. You know, and for us, that's impacting on Twitter, that's on Clubhouse, that's on IG, that's on YouTube, and it all lives on boardroom.tv. But obviously, Twitter is somewhere where, you know, KD has famously thrived and somebody knows how to use the platform and has a big fan base on the platform. And, you know, I think certain dialogue around boardroom fits better on certain platforms. And for Kevin and his co-host Eddie on Et Cetera, his Twitter Spaces is perfect.
It's been really fun to drop in and listen to those. I recommend them for everyone. What is it about Kevin that, as you mentioned, he does engage with fans probably more than almost anyone else in the NBA? How come?
I mean, that's what social media is for. I mean, I think that, like, sometimes people want a bit more of a complicated answer from KD. But you're on your phone as much as we all are.
Yep.
And you don't care about being out there and responding and being who you are. Like, what comes with that is the same thing that comes with all of us. You know, we sometimes say things we don't mean, and sometimes we say things we mean, but maybe we wouldn't have said at that time. But also it's entertainment, you know, and I think for Kevin, like, the fans for the most part love it. He loves it. If you really look at what he's talking about, it's basketball, you know, and that's what he'll talk about till the day he dies. So, you know, again, I love every bit of it. I mean, I think, you know, for all the negativity that gets talked about, there's so much positivity and incredible conversation. Kevin's met people that we've ended up hiring at 35 Ventures. Kevin's met people that have gone on to be fast friends and, you know, athletes that when they were younger, he was just reaching out and showing love. And now they're, you know, entering the league. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, how he uses the platform.
That's pretty incredible that that has ended in an actual workplace situation. That's very cool. Before you go, I do need to ask you, because I have seen you courtside at several Nets games this season. You are an avid watcher. Injury issues, of course, has been the theme in Brooklyn. We've had James Harden currently nursing that hamstring issue. How confident are you that the big three, they've only played 6.5 games together, can be healthy when it counts during the playoffs?
I mean, I'm, of course, incredibly confident. I mean, beyond just the three of them, I'm confident in the whole team. I love this team. I love this organization. It's been an incredible experience as a fan and somebody that's worked with Kevin now in three different teams to see what's great about three different organizations. And, you know, to see three players that are so elite at what they do, it could be basketball, it could be anything. I enjoy watching people that are so good at what they do. And to see the IQ that KD, Kyrie, James have, to know that they're coached by somebody who also played at the highest level, I'm enjoying watching this. You know, to see Kyrie Irving live, to watch him courtside, like, I'm a fan. You know,
yeah.
I watch that, I'm amazed by it. And if anything, I think the three of them will seamlessly integrate, because it's not just being on the court. You know, part of meshing is watching film together, talking, knowing each other, watching each other's games. And these guys are savants. They're of the highest IQ, so it won't be a problem.
Well, it's certainly going to be fun to watch. Fun to watch all the stuff that 35 Ventures is getting into, particularly this partnership. You guys are not only elevating women's sports, telling women's stories, but really saying to the world, hey, this is a great business to be in. And I think there hasn't been enough of that lately as well. So you guys being a leader in that space, I think, is going to have a ripple effect. So thank you for that. And thanks for joining us today, Rich.
Thank you. JustWomensSports.com. I got to plug it. Thanks, Rachel.
Absolutely. We'll see you soon in Brooklyn. And here's what The Jump recommends for today on ESPN Plus. Kevin Pelton writing about the scoring title race between Steph Curry and Bradley Beal. We will explore that and how Beal's hamstring tweak impacts the race next on The Jump. And now joining the show, he is Kevin Durant's manager, business partner, the co-founder of 35 Ventures, the Sports Business Media Network, The Boardroom. Rich Kleiman, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Rachel. I am so happy to finally be on The Jump. We talked about this forever.
We have had all of these misconnections. Here you are. You're reminding me of New York, the home base I had for so long behind you. I love your backdrop. And there's a very cool partnership you're here to announce. Why don't you get to it?
Yeah, we're announcing our investment and partnership with Just Women Sports. And we are incredibly excited. This was a big investment for our team. You know, we have a portfolio of about 70 companies, and some companies are just strategic investments. And some of them we try to activate around where it's appropriate. And some of them, like this, are not only it's something passionate for us, but the founder is an incredible founder. The concept is great. The business model is great. And, you know, beyond the fact that we want to invest in women's sports, this was a great investment. And the founder was somebody that we knew we had to kind of find a way to work together with.
Yeah. Women's stories are compelling stories. And there is no doubt that there will be all kinds of people interested in what you guys produce here. I really can't wait for this. There's also, of course, several other companies you run with Kevin Durant. You have worked with him for years and years now. And I think Kevin's off-court personality is still enigma to a lot of people. So what can you share about working with him day in and day out that might help people get to know him better?
I mean, you know, it's funny because a lot of times people will tell me they feel like they don't know KD or they want to get to know the real KD. But you know, to me, I don't know any other athlete that's as honest and open and real. And, you know, you see what it is. He's a human being. So, you know, for me, he's not an enigma. You know, he's a real dude. He has real feelings. And, you know, we talk so much that it's very fluid. And it's not the kind of thing where we talk about something that happened on Twitter as much as like, that's my man, you know, and regardless of what goes on, like we know who he is and he knows who he is. And people that really know KD don't get caught up in all of the kind of rest of the drama that comes with it. But at the same time, we all understand it and he understands it.
Well, fans have been getting a little bit more of those unvarnished conversations I know you have with him, because KD and your boardroom imprint, pretty consistent fan interaction on Twitter Spaces lately. What's the idea behind digging into that platform for you guys?
I mean, we're digging into every platform. I mean, I think the conversation for boardroom is an important one. I think that it's never been more fascinating to know what these guys are doing off the court, to do what these women are doing off the court, to see what's happening in the venture capital world as it relates to sports, health and wellness, business. You know, and for us, that's impacting on Twitter, that's on Clubhouse, that's on IG, that's on YouTube, and it all lives on boardroom.tv. But obviously, Twitter is somewhere where, you know, KD has famously thrived, and somebody knows how to use the platform and has a big fan base on the platform. And, you know, I think certain dialogue around boardroom fits better on certain platforms. And for Kevin and his co-host Eddie on the Etcetera's Twitter Spaces is perfect.
It's been really fun to drop in and listen to those. I recommend them for everyone. What is it about Kevin that, as you mentioned, he does engage with fans probably more than almost anyone else in the NBA? How come?
I mean, that's what social media is for. I mean, I think that, like, sometimes people want a bit more of a complicated answer from KD. But you're on your phone as much as we all are.
Yep.
And you don't care about being out there and responding and being who you are. Like, what comes with that is the same thing that comes with all of us. You know, we sometimes say things we don't mean, and sometimes we say things we mean, but maybe we wouldn't have said at that time. But also it's entertainment, you know, and I think for Kevin, like, the fans, for the most part, love it. He loves it. If you really look at what he's talking about, it's basketball, you know, and that's what he'll talk about till the day he dies. So, you know, again, I love every bit of it. I mean, I think, you know, for all the negativity that gets talked about, there's so much positivity and incredible conversation. Kevin's met people that we've ended up hiring at 35 Ventures. Kevin's met people that have gone on to be fast friends and, you know, athletes that when they were younger, he was just reaching out and showing love. And now they're, you know, entering the league. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, how he uses the platform.
That's pretty incredible that that has ended in an actual workplace situation. That's very cool. Before you go, I do need to ask you, because I've seen you courtside at several Nets games this season. You are an avid watcher. Injury issues, of course, has been the theme in Brooklyn. We've had James Harden currently nursing that hamstring issue. How confident are you that the big three, they've only played 6.5 games together, can be healthy when it counts during the playoffs?
I mean, I'm, of course, incredibly confident. I mean, beyond just the three of them, I'm confident in the whole team. I love this team. I love this organization. It's been an incredible experience as a fan and somebody that's worked with Kevin now in three different teams to see what's great about three different organizations. And, you know, to see three players that are so elite at what they do, it could be basketball, it could be anything. I enjoy watching people that are so good at what they do. And to see the IQ that KD, Kyrie, James have, to know that they're coached by somebody who also played at the highest level. I'm enjoying watching this. You know, to be able to, to see Kyrie Irving live, to watch him courtside, like, I'm a fan, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I watch that, and I'm amazed by it. And if anything, I think the three of them will seamlessly integrate, because it's not just being on the court. You know, part of meshing is watching film together, talking, knowing each other, watching each other's games. And these guys are savants. They're of the highest IQ, so it won't be a problem.
Well, it's certainly going to be fun to watch. Fun to watch all the stuff that 35 Ventures is getting into, particularly this partnership. You guys are not only elevating women's sports, telling women's stories, but really saying to the world, hey, this is a great business to be in. And I think there hasn't been enough of that lately as well. So you guys being a leader in that space, I think, is going to have a ripple effect. So thank you for that. And thanks for joining us today, Rich.
Thank you. JustWomenSports.com. I got to plug it. Thanks, Rachel.
Absolutely. We'll see you soon in Brooklyn. And here's what The Jump recommends for today on ESPN Plus. Kevin Pelton writing about the scoring title race between Steph Curry and Bradley Beal. We will explore that and how Beal's hamstring tweak impacts the race next on The Jump. And it's crunch time here on The Jump. The NBA fining David Griffin $50,000 on Sunday. This is after Friday. Griffin says Zion Williams' fractured left ring finger, which will keep him out indefinitely, was, quote, avoidable if the NBA did a better job officiating his franchise superstar. Brian, Griff is no fool and he is not new to the NBA. He knew about the $50,000 when he was talking. Was it money well spent?
Well, only Zion can really answer that. This was done for Zion's benefit. Clearly, it was not a foul. He was getting a rebound. It was just terrible luck. But I said this last week on The Jump. I'm going to say it again right now. You can mark down 5 to 10 segments a season about Zion fouls, because this is going to continue to be a thing for the rest of his career because of his size and bulk and speed.
You know what? Griff sound like some of the parents at my AAU game on my 9th. Oh, who just went out there and did that to my baby? Griff, I don't want to hear that, okay? For the simple fact that this is a grown man's game. You know what? When Shaq used to get hard foul, you know what he did? He became more dominant. He got even meaner. Like, he brought a more tenacity. He brought a different edge where guys started being scared of him. Zion is just going to have to deal with this. No one is going to move out the way for Zion to attack the paint and be dunking on people and big-bodying people. Rachel and Winhorst, we call that the trenches down there in the paint, well, where you get muddy. You get down and dirty in there, and it's just part of it. It's been happening when the NBA first started, and it's going to continue to happen.
Perk, you are absolutely right. And yet also, we know who that statement was for. It wasn't for us. It was for the officiating crew. And as Brian points out, it was for Zion, so Zion would know the franchise had his back. All right, let's take a look at today's Magic Moment, brought to you by Walt Disney World Resort. After hearing that Bradley Beal scored 50 earlier in the day, Steph Curry went out and dropped 49 in 29 minutes on Saturday. He currently has a half a point lead over Beal in this season's super exciting scoring race, except the latest on Beal is he will miss the next two games with a hamstring strain. His status reevaluated after that. So, Brian, with just four games left for each team, does this pretty much tell us the scoring title is going to go to Steph Curry?
I hope not. I hope Beal comes back and makes it close. I was thinking this was going to be one of the great things we could watch this week, but Beal going down is hurtful. I love Steph admitting he knew Beal had 50 before he started the game the other night and went out to try to match it. He would have blown past it if Steve Kerr let him play the fourth.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Even if Beal was playing, that scoring title is going to Steph Curry. He cannot be denied. I'm predicting that he's going to have 35 to 40 points every single game towards the end of the season. That's just my opinion.
We will watch.
In my humble opinion.
And then the play-in game as well. It'll be so fun to see Steph go. All right, I want to switch gears to the Celtics before we go. They faced the Heat Sunday. There were huge playoff seeding implications on the line. And Boston responded to that serious, hardcore challenge by giving up 79 first-half points to Miami. The Celtics have now lost 3 of 4. They're 2 full games behind the Heat for that 6th-place play-in bye. So, Perk, you've been watching this team all season. How vulnerable are they if they stay in the play-in?
They're very vulnerable. And you know what's crazy? After the game, Brad Stevens came out and said that the team wasn't engaged. How are you not engaged? This is the playoffs before the playoffs. Everyone in the world knew that this was a big game. And you know the thing is that's crazy is that the players come in after the game, after they have a good game, and I hear their post-game interview, and they say, oh, we block out the outside noise. Maybe y'all need to accept the outside noise to realize how important games are that in the position that y'all in. So the Celtics are very vulnerable. You know, I wouldn't take them for nothing in the world because they have let me down plenty of times this season.
Well, look, especially facing a Heat team, Jimmy Butler, go look at his numbers. I understand he hasn't been available all season, had a lot of COVID issues, but wow, is he having a sneaky good season? And the Heat made their claim. Those are the kinds of games Jimmy thrives in, and we saw it this weekend. All right, guys, Jump returns tomorrow. Thank you, Rasheed Wallace.